Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 40, Seascale and Lanfadora. For all the decades she had spent hunting down dragons, Seascale had always relied on one trait they shared as a race, their utter unsociability. Though they tolerated the rare gathering of large numbers of their own kin, dragons were naturally suspicious of one another and would not stand for living anywhere within miles of another dragon's lair. This made hunting down and killing them much easier. Though they were powerful individually, Seascale could always count on their utter refusal to call for help. Even the Draco Dim only came together for extremely rare situations and never more than two at a time. Standing within this gigantic cavern, Seascale counted herself lucky that this was the case. A unified dragon assault could easily tear through a realm, leaving only fire and ashes in its wake. Yet, here she was, with four prominent dragons outside the Draco Dim, about to do something that might lead to that end. Nevertheless, the prince asked her to do this, and she would see it through to the end. She surveyed the cavern, taking note of each dragon that had to fight its instinctual distrust of its kin just to be here. They were so deep inside the mountain that no light penetrated this cave. First, Himfadora, the envy dragon who helped bring this group together. She perched on top of a great stalagmite, her long, sinuous tail coiling around it. To Himfadora's right was Nazadar, a sloth dragon, nearly her opposite in every way. While Himfadora was sleek and long, Nazadar was compact and heavily built. She glowered over the others from her perch, while he huddled into his niche within the rock. Her crest rose proudly, running from her head, down her spine, and to the tip of her tail. The thick, bony plates that covered him from snout to tail made him seem part of the mountain. Sloth dragons were often derided by the rest of their kin as strongly resembling turtles. They would have taken umbrage over such a derogatory remark if they didn't think it was too much of a bother to do so. Across the cavern from Himfadora was Drezadar, the oddest one to be involved in this meeting. It was common enough knowledge among dragons that not every pride dragon supported the Draco Dim, but to find one who actually wished their destruction was rare indeed. The youngest among them, Drezadar, was smaller than the other dragons in the cave. What he lacked in size, he made up with sheer arrogance. Typical of pride dragons, his enormous four horns curved around each other to crown him. They made it remarkable that he could keep his neck straight. Even through dark vision, there was a gleam about his scales that promised splendor if seen in the light. This was not the first time Seascale had encountered Drezadar. She knew of that his scales gleamed gold. Even now, they demanded that everyone's attention should be given to him. He held himself so confidently that he appeared to be on the same level as Himfadora despite sitting on the floor. Then there was Seyfraladar. Even mentally, Seascale used that name for him this time. Spike, the dragon who lived among ponies, was not needed today. Today he needed to be the last surviving hatchling of Rainfadora, the heir of Drelhadar's work and, most of all, Prince Tirado's agent within the dragons. Seyfraladar was behind her, taking shelter behind a large rock. It was difficult not to have some sympathy. Seyfraladar looked barely able to even stay in this cavern, let alone stand among his kind. As if to further mock Seyfraladar, several small blue-green butterflies surrounded him. They fluttered about with their brightly luminescent wings as if he was the most tantalizing flower in all of Equestria, occasionally alighting upon him with impunity. These were the fearsome guardians of Drelhadar's laboratory. Indeed, they were the only occupants of that desolate hole in the ground. Seascale had expected something more sinister, something more fitting for all the stories of the monstrous Drelhadar. She would have been completely disappointed, but while these butterflies looked harmless, there was certainly an air of mystery around them. For one thing, it was impossible to count them. They winked in and out of existence as they fluttered around. There could be three or four of them. They also refused to leave Seyfraladar despite their best efforts. For the 2 days after that visit, they stayed by him, never needing any food or rest. They evaded claw and tail swipes with remarkable ease and followed him everywhere. Save Freleda had suggested dragonfire in desperation, but she cautioned against it. Who knew what would happen if these things were attacked with dragon flames? "Everyone is here," Sif Skell told her charge. "It's time to begin." Sephrolida looked at her, eyes still trusting despite all that had happened. He put on a brave face despite his shaking legs. After a few more seconds of composing himself, he slowly began to emerge from his hiding place. For Spike, the past few days have been the most bizarre yet in his time with Seascale. What he had hoped would be a journey into becoming stronger for his friends had turned into this complicated foray into his kind's world. Not only that, he was going to enter it through the most dangerous way possible. The other dragons loomed over him from different directions. No matter where he looked, he found armor-plated scales, poison stingers, slashing claws, and rows of pointed teeth. What was he supposed to do before such mighty creatures? He had hoped to be surer after he visited Drelhadar's laboratory, surer of his identity and surer of his purpose here. He had expected something like Twilight's laboratory back home, with oddly shaped bottles left and right, as well as a mountain of books he could go over to learn more about the dragon. Against all odds, he had even hoped that Drelhadar would have some kind of journal which would mention him. Instead, he was faced with an expanse of crystal. Everything from floor to the walls to the ceiling was of the same material. The place would have been enough to make Rarity faint, and possibly foam at the mouth. Enormous spires of them jutted out of the ground in great formations that resembled snowflakes. As beautiful as the place was, however, it was also empty. Save for the butterflies. Spike had no idea where these things had come from. He had been terrified of meeting the guardians that supposedly still patrolled the laboratory. His mind conjured images of animated, dragon-shaped stone statues and monstrous skeletons of unknown creatures. He had encountered no such things, only these butterflies. Were these the deadly guardians of Drelhadar's laboratory? And did their persistence indicate that he was Drelhadar's son? Why his father picked butterflies to guard the laboratory was a mystery. Either these creatures' graceful, fluttering forms disguised their immense power, or Drelhadar may be the one dragon Fluttershy wouldn't be scared of. "Everyone is here. It's time to begin." Seafscale's words put an end to Spike's speculations, throwing him back once more to the terrifying situation he was about to deal with. Just one of the dragons gathered in the cavern could crush him with a step. He put on as brave a face as he could and stepped forward. Seafscale walked by his side as he presented himself before the gathered dragons.
"This is the one I have been talking about," Imphadora said. "Look, Drelhadar's creations circle him in recognition. He is truly the last son of Renfadora."
Nezadar snorted. His voice rumbled and echoed within his barrel-like chest. With his eyes closed, it was as if he was talking in his sleep.
"Wah, all I smell is a hatchling. What can we do with him? The Dracodim need but one look to double over laughing. If they start to do that, then I'll start killing them while they're distracted."
Drezadar snapped. He looked to Imphadora.
"This is a dangerous gathering you set up. I'm listening, but you better have more than just butterflies to prove that we can stand behind this hatchling as the Dragon Queen's heir."
Imphadora sneered.
"Crush him, then."
"What?"
Spike cried out.
"Hold on, what?"
Spike looked desperately to Seafscale. She didn't look as if she even heard the exchange. He ran for it. He was done with this cave and these dragons. He was going to run all the way to the Heartland if he had to. Drezadar drew himself to full height. Spike got a single step forward when a heart-crushing wave of dread slammed into him. He gasped and tried to clutch his chest, only to find his body rigid and rooted to the spot. He couldn't even turn his eyes.
Typical pride dragon, Himfadora said. Can't catch anything you don't freeze with your aura of fear first. If nothing else, impressive control for one so young.
Spike's heart hammered in his ears so loudly that his skull throbbed. A bit of a draft from Drelazadar's claw blew past him. He would have closed his eyes, but his eyelids wouldn't move. One of the butterflies fluttered in front of Spike, its wings burst in a steadily intensifying glow. His eyes watered, but he still couldn't close them. The brightness seared away his dark vision, leaving only a painful field of white. The light flashed, then flew from the creature like a spell from a unicorn. Drelazadar, pained roar, shook the cavern violently. Spike shut his eyes, pressed his claws softly against his eyelids in agony. He scrabbled against the stone floor to avoid a possible second claw strike. It was Thiefscale that grabbed him by the spines on his head and then turned him around. Relax, Thiefscale said in her pitiless tone. It's over. A minute passed before Spike's dark vision recovered. His heart continued to pound and his legs wobbled, forcing him to balance himself with his tail. When the commotion both within the cave and within him had died down, the butterflies had gone back to just circling him. Drelazadar hunkered down, cradling his smoking right claw with his left one. Spike walked worriedly back to see Thiefscale. He was about to hold out and grab a hank of her fur when he looked up at her, then just kept his claws to himself.
Are they still just butterflies, Drelazadar?
Himfadora hissed.
Curse that scaleless wretch,
Drelazadar growled.
Curse him and his monstrosities.
Well, I'm convinced, Drelazadar said. His slow rumble made him sound like he had just woken up. Before we continue, I must say that to have Lanfedora around is suspicious.
The name threw Spike off. Lanfedora? Which one would that be? Thiefscale had already told him all their names. It was only when he looked to where all their eyes went did he realize what was going on. Lanfedora was none other than the Kirin next to him. He looked to Thiefscale worriedly. He may doubt her different motives and her lack of concern left him feeling cold inside, but she was still the closest he had to an ally in this dark, frightening hole in the ground. Alone, there was no way he could face these dragons.
The half-pony is here, Sephraladar's protector, sent by the Pony Prince,
Himfadora replied.
Exactly, Drelazadar said. She is Equestria's agent. We do not need that kind of interference from ponies.
Reinfadora brought the ponies into this, Drelazadar. Are you going to question her wisdom?
Himfadora asked. Drelazadar looked as if he was trying to burrow into the cavern's floor.
Of course not, he grumbled. I'm sure that the Dragon Queen did what was best, but I doubt she would approve of the dragon-slaying Lanfedora being so close to her last surviving hatchling.
Reinfedora killed more dragons in her last years than the half-pony could hope to kill in her lifetime,
Himfadora said.
She would approve of her son being around someone so ruthless, even if it was a half-pony.
There was a sense of familiarity in Hinfadora's rasping voice when she spoke Spike's supposed mother's name. She was easily the oldest dragon in this cave. Her teeth looked worn, some were even broken. Her rasping tone made her sound like someone's grandmother. Hinfadora could be old enough to have known Reinfadora personally. Drelazadar tapped the stone floor with a claw.
We are wasting time talking about the abomination, he said. Sephraladar is the issue here.
Despite what he said, he looked at Thiefscale.
Also, we can start off with what the Pony Prince has to say about this whole issue.
Thiefscale continued to speak in that distant tone Spike was accustomed to hear from her. The prince has discovered Sephraladar's true identity and brought him to this group so that he may, in turn, receive your aid in a future conflict.
Of course, Drelazadar said. Why else would the Pony Prince bother with us?
He raised himself up and craned his short neck out as far as it could towards Sief's scale.
He doesn't think you'll get some of us to join his legion, does he? That would be a real bother.
Halt,
Drazadar said. He raised a claw for silence. Nezadar looked at him indignantly, but said nothing.
You said future conflict, he said to Seafscale. Equestria is already fighting Wovengard, Ursinium, and Ophidus. What else can it pick a fight with?
The prince does not expect any dragon to fight at his command, Seafscale replied. Nor anything mundane like supplies.
Then what does he want?
Drazadar asked.
And who does he want us to aid him in fighting?
All three dragons leaned closer toward Seascale. Spike swallowed and grabbed a tuft of her fur. Even at this distance, their breaths reeked of scorched flesh. He could have sworn there was a large bone stuck between Nazadar's teeth, and he didn't want to know what it belonged to. All the prince asks is that the Fraladar be allowed to inherit everything from his parents, Seafscale said. Both of them.
You're dodging my other question, Abomination, Drazadar said. Who are we fighting if not the Wolven, the Ursans, and the Ophidites?
Ponies. The three other dragons in the cavern were forgotten. Suddenly that dream Spike had before came back to him. Seafscale attacking Ponyville. The screams at the side of him. The carnage.
Seafscale?
He asked. Seafscale didn't even look at Spike. But you're all getting too far ahead, she said. You have the Dracodim to deal with, and the prince has chosen to help you.
Just as he's helping them spread their influence in Equestria's center, Nazadar said.
Enough mindering, Hymphadora hissed. I know what your prince wants, half-pony. Without a doubt, you must have scoured the laboratory I showed you in hopes of finding it, only to come up with nothing.
Seafscale didn't reply.
I will not agree to push on with your plans until I know, Drazadar snarled at Hymphadora.
What ponies is she talking about? The half-pony speaks of the strangers, Hymphadora said. Tirado does not want our aid against the ponies of Equestria.
She smiled and a trickle of drool dripped down her lips.
He means his kin, the same kind of pony as a stranger. As for the inheritance.
Hymphadora snaked her long, sinuous neck towards Spike.
The prince wants this hatchling, who is undoubtedly more loyal to Equestria than to his own kin, to inherit Drelidar's life's work.
And what's that? Nezadar asked.
Hymphadora's only reply to that question was a wide, broken-fanged grin. Spike shuddered at just how creepy she was. Drazadar sneered at the sight and Nazadar muttered something to himself.
I don't know, Hymphadora said. I served Rainfadora as a confidant, second only to Drelidar himself, but I never knew what that monster was up to.
Her grin widened.
Isn't it such a gamble? The Pony Prince might know. He and his sisters were entrusted with this hatchling, weren't they? Perhaps they know more about Drelidar's work.
Gamble,
Drazadar roared. His eyes narrowed and his voice dropped to a growl.
Might I remind you, we are staking our lives on this. You may be near the end of yours, Hymphadora, but I won't let you throw mine away for gambles.
And might I remind you of what we stand to gain?
Hymphadora said. Her tail twitched and the stinger flicked back and forth.
Even the way he is, Sir Fraladar can reawaken the old loyalties that a Fraladar and his ilk have tried so hard to smother. This is the time we have been waiting for, the time to challenge the Dracodim's rule.
Hymphadora raised her voice.
I've spent centuries studying Drelidar, trying to understand why he did what he did and why Rainfadora kept him so close. I never came close to answering either question, but I know one thing. Drelidar never cared for dragonkind, one way or another.
I may not know what he had been working on up to that moment he was slain, but I do know that it does not concern us.
She let out a snort. Spike gagged at the horrible smell.
Dreladar would not stoop so low.
Dreladar turned his gaze back to Spike.
That may be true, but what of his son? Tell me, Sephraladar, what do you think of your kin? Do you share your father's disdain?
Spike found nothing to answer that. It wasn't even a matter of how similar he was to a dragon he never met, or if Dreladar was his father or not. What did he feel about dragons? He was certainly impressed by the size and power of his race, but whenever he encountered them... Sephraladar has spent most of his life within Equestria, Siefskjall said. He has not been with other dragons long enough to form a proper opinion.
That's going to change soon, Dreladar said.
He was smiling now as well.
Very well. Let's set aside the ponies' agendas and focus on our own.
He turned his great horned head towards Seascale.
Have you told him what we require of him as the son of Rainfadora and Dreladar?
No, Seascale said.
What else can you expect of Tirado's pets? Nazadar asked. You've only told him what the ponies need.
Enough with the half-pony, Himfadora hissed.
She looked at Spike, her smile back in an instant.
Dreladar is right, Sephraladar. It's time we looked to you. You've heard enough vague ramblings from a bunch of dragons.
Yeah.
Spike stopped, then composed himself. He was still afraid of so many things. He was afraid of not just these dragons standing before him, but also of the fate they promised. He was afraid of Seascale leading him down a path farther and farther from his friends. He was afraid of Tirado and for every pony back in the Heartland. Yet he did understand that showing those fears now would only make sure that they came to be. He stood as tall as he could, forced his legs to stay still with all his might, and lifted his head so that he met Himfadora's stare.
"About time,"
he said as loudly as he could.
"I've been sitting around here while the three of you talked over me and I want answers."
He grit his teeth as all three dragons bristled at his insolent tone. This was insane. He was going to get himself eaten and probably Seascale too. But he couldn't stop now. This was the right way to deal with them. If he simpered now, they'd never respect him. He grit his teeth, pointed at them defiantly, and spat the words out like bad hay fries before he could choke on them.
"If you don't make things clear, I'll send these butterflies at you."
Dreladar began to tense. Nazadar stared wide-eyed while Himfadora's shoulders began to shake. She started to laugh, her dry, half-wheezing voice echoing all around them. Eventually, she settled down.
"My sincerest apologies, Dragon Prince," Himfadora said.
Himfadora said.
Spike searched for the mockery between those words. He didn't find any.
"I'll make amends right away."
Spike stopped clenching his jaw to appear defiant, but he remained upright and alert. Nazadar and Dreladar didn't look very approving, but that derisive look in their eyes was gone for now.
"The Pony Prince has made the claim that you are the last hatchling of Rainfadora and Dreladar,"
Himfadora said.
"You have entered one of Dreladar's laboratories and lived. His creatures acknowledge and protect you. This will be proof enough to any dragon who still holds on to the old loyalties."
"Proof enough for what?"
Spike asked.
"To bring together enough dragons to challenge the Drakadim," Dreladar said. "You must have seen some form of their tyranny already, Sephraladar. The Drakadim are over there in your precious heartland, imposing their will through a mountain of scaled corpses. Their insanity must end. They treat all of dragonkind as pride dragons. In doing so, they rob true pride dragons of what makes us unique and superior. Their posturing has rendered our race weak as a whole."
"But if you hate all the Drakadim so much, why won't you all come together by yourselves?"
Spike asked. His boldness surprised him. He wasn't even stammering. These huge dragons were talking to him as someone they needed.
You don't know your own kin well, Himfadora said. If you could bring us together that easily, we could have taken the entire world as our own by now.
Her eyes narrowed.
No, dragons are selfish and belligerent. So long as our hordes are safe, we can't care less about our kin. Of course there are exemptions. Afraladar is a freak of nature, a dragon gifted with the ability to communicate with his fellows and bind them with a small but deciding threat of unity. With Rhaenfadora dead, that was enough for them to exert their domination.
Hemfadora's voice rose. The disgust she spoke the Drakadim's name with was replaced with a sense of awe and nostalgia.
His work will be nothing compared to what you will accomplish. There are many dragons who still remember Rhaenfadora's time. They may not care much for their fellow dragons, but they will fight for even just a hint of her presence. By hint, I mean you. Make the claim, and you will gather those who remember those days. They are some of the oldest dragons around. We can bring an end to the Drakodem. But...
Spike let the hasty word trail off. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to help his friends and Equestria, not dragonkind. But even he could see how this could be an advantage. He had come to the Western Barrier Land to be of a better help to his friends. He had hoped to do so by gaining strength for himself, but having other dragons come to aid Equestria would certainly be just as important. He looked to Seafscale, who nodded at him, silently telling him to do what he felt he should do.
If I do this, will these dragons follow me and do as I say?
To a degree, Himfadora said. It all depends on how much of Rhaenfadora's reign they see in you.
And if we beat the Drakodim, will they help Equestria if I ask them to?
They certainly won't mind protecting the realm that sheltered the Dragon Queen's last hatchling,
Himfadora replied with a shrewd smile.
At least they'll go as far as dragon gratitude will take them.
All right,
Spike said. The words left his mouth with a sense of finality.
Sorry, Twilight,
he thought.
Maybe I won't be back by this spring, but I promise I will be back.
This time all three dragons in the cavern smiled. It was evening when Spike entered Seafscale's cave with her. Before that, it was a long and silent flight for them, making their way back from the hidden meeting place of what Himfadora called the Old Guard. Drezadar wasn't too keen on the name applying to him, but grudgingly accepted that it was somewhat appropriate. Seafscale had not bothered to look back when Spike jumped off from her shoulders. "Get some sleep," she said. "There's much to do tomorrow."
"Not yet,"
Spike said. He folded his arms across his chest and stayed standing by the entrance. Seafscale turned around and stared at him. "What do you want?" she asked.
"So far, all we've been doing is what you and Prince Dorado want to do,"
Spike said. He stumped a foot for emphasis.
"What about what I want to do?"
"What do you want to do?" Seafscale asked.
"I want to become stronger and help my friends."
"You have become stronger."
"Stronger so I can help everyone else but them."
Seafscale pushed aside some gold coins and gems, then reclined on the resulting space. "You understand," she said. "You may complain about it, but you already understand. Amidst all the others using you, you'll find a way to use them in return. You've made it plain enough when you agreed to Himfadora's plans."
"I don't want to use anyone,"
Spike shot back.
"I just want to help my friends."
"And Himfadora wants to bring back some semblance of her glory days," Seascale said. "And the prince wants you to help with his plans. And I want to help the prince. Everyone wants to do something, and no one is going to just stop to help you out, Spike. If you want to help your friends, you find a way to take what you need."
"Is that how dragons do things?"
Spike asked.
No wonder they can't beat the Dracodem. All they have to do is work together and they could solve this problem.
Like ponies? The question brought Spike to a stop. He shook his head and concentrated on finding the words again. He refused to let Seascale just end this conversation.
Yes, he said. If that's how you want to put it, like ponies.
Is that what your pony friends taught you? Seascale asked. Dragons should just do what ponies do. Dragons should share, be nice, and live in tiny houses in villages so they can be good neighbors. Spike didn't answer. The butterflies fluttering all around him didn't seem to be bothered by the growing hostility from Seascale. What did they tell you about your greed face? Seascale asked. Did they say it was wrong? They may as well have told you that growing up was wrong. She spat in derision. Spike fumed at the gesture. Seascale didn't spit on the ground. She just spat on his friends. What do they know of dragons? What do they know of going through the phases of the different dragon varieties and the dragon way of life? Seascale's voice suddenly softened, her fierce expression giving way for a moment. What do they know of living in a world that's so small, too short-lived and easily burned? Her voice trailed off. For a few seconds she was silent. Then the fierce expression was back along with the derisive tone. Your pony friends have done nothing but force you to live their way of life or be cast out. They're hardly better than the Dracodem, and I add hardly, because they haven't killed and eaten you for not being a pony enough.
Don't you talk about my friends like that!
Spike shouted. He lunged at Seascale, claws and fangs out. Seascale didn't even dodge. Spike's claws and teeth found no purchase against her thick and coarse fur. He stepped back and blew flames at her claws and hoofs. Again, Seascale did not even move. Are you feeling wrathful now? She asked.
You bet I'm angry, Spike said. You take back what you said about my friends.
Seascale's facial expression finally changed. It was only now, despite the weeks he had already known her, did he finally notice her eyebrows. They weren't fur. Instead, they looked like a ridge of very small horns, and they met in a very deep scowl. I didn't ask if you were angry, she snarled. Spike stepped back, his heart racing even faster than when Dresda threatened to squash him. Several bright red spines, each about a couple of feet long, rose from the middle of her back. They vibrated, similar to the rattling some snakes did. Her eyes glowed red and smoke began to rise from her nostrils. And the heat. He raised his claws to protect his face. His scales didn't do anything against this sort of heat. It was worse than being inside a smithy or even standing so close to a pool of lava. I asked you if you were wrathful, Seascale roared. Learn the difference. She turned to the side and exhaled. Flames erupted from her mouth and blasted one side of the cave. Spike cried out. The discomfort turned to scorching pain as white-hot fire struck stone. He had never felt fire like this, not even the time when Nightmare Moon's tainted flames struck him. He quailed when he saw the cave wall glow, then slide to the ground as bubbling red goop. When Seascale closed her mouth, a great, smoking depression of partly melted stone marked one of her cave's walls. She walked over to him, the spines along her back already receding. Do you feel anything remotely resembling that? She asked.
No,
Spike said. One butterfly landed on his nose as if mocking his fear. Like the last glowing traces of a dying bonfire, all trace of emotion faded from Seascale's face. I see, she said. She walked back to her hoard and reclined. Spike shook his head.
Wait, what just happened?
Today you discovered that you were a prince among your kind, and that you now have potent guardians watching over you.
Yet your pride did not swell to great proportions. Just now I provoked you as much as I can. You grew angry, but not to the point I was testing for. You are approaching your expression phase, Spike, and I just determined that you have neither a heartful of pride nor a heartful of wrath.
That's it? Spike asked. It was some kind of test?
Yes, Thiefscale replied. One that was impossible to give if I told you. Spike sighed.
Okay, I understand that part, but please give me something.
Thiefscale looked at him softly for a moment. She hesitated, then looked towards the distance of her cave's opening. I do not know what the prince expects from what you will inherit from Drelhadar, she said. But I can tell you of some of what the prince was willing to tell me. It is a measure for should be worst come to pass, and that it may be the one thing that will grant him that wish he has entertained only in the rarest and darkest occasions. A wish he has kept from his sisters, lest they think of him as weak or treacherous.
And what's that?
To go home. Spike looked at the floor, unsure of how he should react to that without making Thiefscale angry.
Well,
he said,
thanks for trusting me that much.
You're welcome. Spike headed for the bundle of furs he used for a bed.
Thiefscale,
he asked,
you didn't mean what you said about my friends, right? That was just a test?
Thiefscale turned away. What do I know about ponies? She muttered.
Okay, we have a Spike chapter again, and I'm honest here, I don't really like those, but okay, let's begin. We have Spike talking to three dragons and Thiefscale, or what was she called? Lenfadora? Acting as his protector. Well, seeing as he has those strange butterflies now, I don't think she's needed anymore, at least for that. Then we have that whole thing with these butterflies being powerful magical creations, done by his father. Well, interesting, but kinda strange, really. And that he is supposed to inherit something from his father that will help Prince Tirado go home? That would mean that Tirado would go back to the Eternal Herd, if I'm not mistaken. And furthermore, if I'm not mistaken, he and Luna opened a gate to the Eternal Herd. I mean, a partial gate, okay, so that nothing could go through and they could only communicate. And not to mention that Celestia is not at full strength. Well, she has been robbed of her power. But what would he need something for that would let him go home? I mean, can't he just open a gate together with Luna or once Celestia has her power back? That's kind of strange. Why would he need something made by the dragons? How would a dragon know how to open a gate to the Eternal Herd? That's what's really getting me here. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but yeah, that was what concerned me about this chapter the most. How does a dragon, or how did a dragon know how to open a gate to the Eternal Herd, or how to send an alicorn home? All these questions. But as we have learned in earlier chapters, if an alicorn is killed in this world, in Equestria, then that alicorn just goes back to the Eternal Herd and is just unable to go back to Equestria again. So even if he was killed in Equestria, why would he need some... Even if he couldn't open a gate to the Eternal Herd himself, he could just, I don't know, use his own magic to implode his head? I don't know. Something like that. I'm kind of confused here. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.